Do we hear an amen? Amen. Well, okay, you got to stand with me for this one. So here's the word of the Lord this morning. We're going to be swimming in this one. Beautiful text in John chapter 13. Welcome to a brand new year, right? Check this out. John 13, 12 through 17. When Jesus had finished washing their feet, he put on his outer clothes and he returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. That's good. Father, we thank you for this morning. Good morning, Jesus. Your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness unto us. As we awoke this morning, Lord, your eyes are upon us. You're the good shepherd that watches over his people. And you've never left us. You've never forsaken us. And you know us by name. And you love us and care for us. We're precious in your sight, valuable unto you. And Lord, this morning we come to worship you in spirit and in truth. We come to learn. We pray for the voice of God to speak into our hearts today. Lord, would you help our ears to hear Jesus today? And would you touch our eyes that we maybe could see the heart of Christ today? Lord, we lift before you this service. And we pray, God, that you would speak mightily into our hearts because we're here to listen. Wherever we are on this journey, God, we're here today. We want to grow. We want to learn. Teach us your ways and lead us in your path. You are the God of our salvation. We love you and we trust you. You're a great God. And we pray this in the name of the Lord God Almighty. And all those who love Jesus would say, amen. Amen. And y'all may be seated. So welcome to the second Sunday of 2023, right? Not the first, the second. And I hope and pray that you have had some time to do some reflecting. Maybe over the last year, it was fun to show that video. Our pastoral staff, we got together after kind of looking at each other and saying, man, I'm tired. Are you tired? I'm tired. That was a great run between Thanksgiving and Christmas as a church. It's kind of, you know, at church, there's rhythms in church. And like right around Thanksgiving, we have a great Thanksgiving service and in and out truck. And as soon as that hits, it becomes decorations, setting up for Christmas, the choir, and preparing for the choir, and the tree lighting service, and the Christmas service we had here, the concert we had, and the Christmas party, and then we had the Christmas Eve, which was awesome, and then double whammy with Christmas Day, and Christmas parties, and you know what? It was a lot. It was awesome. We're tired. As a church, I mean, I'm looking at Pastor Vince, he goes, dude, I'm like, me too. But it was such a good run. But we spent some time reflecting. And we just sat down and said, man, what have we seen the Lord do this last year? Do you know last year, we saw Jesus give healings over addictions in this church. Last year, we saw Jesus heal marriages in this church. Last year, we saw Jesus heal bodies in this church. Last year, we saw Jesus bring love, hope, truth, courage, and direction into so many people's lives at this church. It was actually a really great year. And I want to say this. Last year, we saw the greatest promise that Jesus would ever give unto us happen to quite a few people in our church. When Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you, when Jesus says, I wash you of all your sin and I prepare you for heaven, we had people in our church take the greatest journey in their life as they traveled from this into, as Jesus' paradise. We saw all that this last year as we watched Christ touch people's lives right out of the book of Acts. It's been an awesome year, a year of, I get goosebumps, of he's living and active and touching and moving now. It's been a great year. And okay, pastor's moment. I just want to have a pastor's moment with you this morning. I want to say thank you to this church for your love, for Cindy and I, for your love, for Pastor Vince and Mary Beth, for your love, for Pastor Graham and BJ, for your love, for Josh and his family, and PV and his family, and Vadim and Fina. Thank you for your love for Millette and her family. Thank you for your love for all the people here that serve. We felt your love and cards and generosity and encouragement, and it just overwhelms us. This is a really cool church. We just want to thank you. That's it. We feel your love and support. As we're tired, it's a good tired. Does that make sense? It's a good tired. Okay, I want to say this. It's been a crazy run, especially, so you guys, so next, I think this week we're getting in all our new LED lightings coming in this week. You see these like wires that are here, speakers are coming down, and things that we were supposed to do long ago. We're in the process of like redoing our, you guys will see the stained glass window probably next Sunday. That'll be nice again, huh? It's hidden behind the curtain. We've been doing a lot we had to do some upgrades. Things are burned out and broken, and we just had to do it. And it's been a journey. Boy, I just want to thank the worship team at Woodbridge Community Church. I want to thank those that do the sound every week, the lighting every week, those that do ProPresenter every week, those that are doing the lighting and the streaming, those that have been getting together and just every week serving in such an amazing capacity. Hospitality, ushers, greeters. You guys, there's so many pieces that goes into a church. Children's ministry, youth ministry, the leadership team, the prayer ministry, growth group leaders. As we reflect on 2022, just a big thank you to all those who serve. Do I hear an amen? There are so many people that serve in this church. You'd be surprised. And amen. There are so many. You guys, this is an amazing church filled with amazing people that love Jesus, and their love for him overflows into other people's lives. And they serve others. The core values of this church are, we actually put them on the walls and the outside, and this is not the perfect church, okay? And I'm not the perfect pastor. And if you go to the perfect church, if you find the perfect church, don't go to it. Because if you do, you'll ruin it. Because there is no perfect people. There is no perfect church. There is no perfect pastor. But we are all on the journey to meet Jesus and to know Jesus and to follow Jesus. And we're all doing this together in community. This is a great church. And if you're not a member of this church, sign up. Just be a member. Join. I mean, go read the core values on the wall as you leave today. The one side's the missions, the other side, man, this is what we're about. And it's just about loving God and loving people and just being true. If that's something you agree with, man, say, dude, this is my church. People drive by and they go, there's that church over there. Or they walk in and go, okay, there's this church. But when does it become my church? It's when you say, man, this is my church. This is where I'm going to serve God and where I'm going to grow and serve others. If that's you, man, you're not a member yet, it's simple to do. Go on our website. You just fill it out, and it's great to do. So I just want to encourage you to do that. So that's 2022, right? So 2023, right? It's a new year. So have you made New Year's resolutions yet for 2023? I need to tell you, New Year's resolutions can be incredibly dangerous. Pastor Frank made New Year's resolutions this year. So between Thanksgiving and Christmas, it's like, forget diet, dude. We get so much candy, man. And I was horrified when I hit the scale. I'm like, uh-oh. You know, I'm like, I'm going to the gym every day. Behold my water bottle. Tuesday morning, I'm reaching to go get my water bottle in our kitchen. And it slipped out of my hand. Does anyone want to guess where it hit me? Right here. So I got a nice big black eye on my face. It's funny. Have you ever had a black eye? It didn't really hit me but Wednesday I'm looking, oh my gosh, dude, it's full blown. So you can't let that go, right? So I looked at my wife, Cinda, and I said, babe, you hit me last night. You know, one of these. And she goes, I did. I'm like, oh my gosh. She goes, are you sure? I'm like, yeah, man, I can't believe it. She goes, I'm so sorry. She goes, I didn't really did. I started laughing. You can't let it go, right? Here's the deal. New Year's resolutions can be dangerous. But do them anyway. I've gone to the gym every day this week. I'm losing weight. I'm doing better. And so here's the cool thing about New Year's resolutions, and it's so true. New Year's resolutions usually revolve around, I need to improve myself. I need to do better. Amen? I need to lose weight. So I'm going to hit the gym. I'm going to exercise. I'm going to eat better. Some of us are going, you know, man, I need to live by a budget in 2023. I just got to get a better hand. Fine, go for it, right? Some people say, man, I want to learn the piano. I want to start reading more. Good. Do it. Go for it. Very few people make New Year's resolutions that I need to serve other people more. Very few people put on their New Year's resolution, you know, for this next year, I'm going to be a better servant. Is that any of yours? It's not on the top of my list. Do you know whose list that would be on top of? Jesus's. Do you know, if we all sat in our prayer closets and talked to the Lord, he'd tell us all, my goal for you this year is to learn to be a servant better. Isn't that what he teaches us with his life? Think about Jesus this morning, okay? I want to read a text to you. Powerful text. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 8. Let this one stir in. This is amazing. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Yeshua the Messiah, Jesus the Christ, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped or to be held on to, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Happy Easter. Jesus did all this for who? For you. And for me. Jesus did all of this for you and for me. Jesus traveled a long way to serve you and me, from heaven to earth, from earth to a cross, from a cross to a grave, from a grave back to heaven. And he's not finished. He's coming back again. People, he's traveled a really long way to serve you and to serve me. And Jesus endured a lot to serve you and me. Do I hear an amen? He endured a lot to serve you and me. He traveled an amazing servant journey to serve you and me. Our King, people, is an amazing leader because he leads from example. He leads from the front, and he models for you and he models for me servanthood. He is the greatest example of humility and selflessness ever seen. The greatest example, people, if you ever want to think, what is the greatest example of humility or selflessness? It's found in Christ Jesus, our King. He's the one, and he lays this out before us. Let me read this to you again, but we're going to go a little bit further in the text. Swim in this text. Jump into the pool of this text because it's amazing. Theologians call this text the kenosis. How's that for a Greek word? The emptying. The theology of the kenosis of God emptying himself and becoming a servant. Not to emptying himself of deity, but the creator becoming the created and dwelling among us. It's an intense text. Philippians chapter 2. Here it comes, 3 through 11. So here's more of it, right? Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind. Are you humble? Regard one another as more important than yourself. Is that easy to do? Do not merely look out for your own interests, for your own New Year's resolutions. Look out for the doing things for other people. Put that in your New Year's resolution, right? Have this attitude in yourself, which is also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God, something to be grasped, but he kenosis'd himself or emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant. Are you kidding me? And being made in the likeness of men, being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God the Father highly exalted the Messiah and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. So at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Of those who are in heaven and on the earth and in hell or under the earth. And that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. King of kings and Lord of lords. And all the kings will bow before him, including the dictator in Russia. And including the dictator long ago in Nazi Germany. All. Everyone. He's the king. Take notes with me this morning. All this is true. But our king is a servant. Write that down. This is, take this and stir this in. The King of kings and the Lord of lords, the captain of the host of heaven, our commander in chief is a servant. He's a servant. When Jesus came in the form of a servant, he wasn't disguising who God is. But he was revealing who God is to you and me. Did y'all know that? See, Jesus did not come as a servant in spite of the fact of being God. He came precisely because of the fact that he's God. Did y'all get that? Does that make sense? See, God is a giver. Isn't that good news? Note number two, stir this one in. Check this out. At the heart of God is the desire to give. At the heart of God is the desire to forgive. At the heart of God is the desire to serve. That's amazing. Jesus, the fullness of deity dwelling in bodily form, is the most awesome servant that ever walked on planet Earth. So for us at this church, we put scriptures on the walls, and I call them the bookends of the Bible. And if you ever really swim in the text of Scripture, you'll know that all throughout Scripture, God promised a Messiah. And when you read in Genesis, God said that he was starting a nation, right? Abraham, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore, the Jewish people. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies. And they did, and they do today. And through your offspring, all the nations on the earth will be blessed because you've obeyed me. The offspring, guess who Jesus' ancestor is? Abraham. It's the promise of a Messiah coming to bless all the nations of the earth. It's found in the book of Genesis, the promise of a Messiah coming, and it's in Genesis. What is the last book of the scriptures? Revelation. And in the book of Revelation, and they sang a new song saying, you are worthy. Who is worthy? Jesus. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain. And with your blood, you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God. And they'll reign upon the earth. Do you know that heaven sings of the suffering servant of the Messiah? The promise, Jesus is a servant. The Messiah is a servant. God is a servant. God is one who comes to give, to forgive, and God is he serves. Heaven sings of the servanthood of Christ. Do you all get that? Okay, take a deep breath. Okay, exhale. Okay, I try to absorb that. What should this mean for our lives? What should this mean for our lives? How should this affect our lives in 2023? So God is a servant, yes? Yes, he is. Ah, how are you doing at being a servant? If you could give yourself a grade on a scale of 1 to 10, just be honest. When you look at yourself in the mirror, hi, right there you are. Are you a servant? On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you grade yourself as a servant? How would your family grade you? What grade do you think they'd give you? How about your neighbors, your friends? Can I say don't be too hard on yourself? Because learning servanthood is really hard. Do I hear an amen? Do you know that servanthood is not natural to you, nor to me? Ask a little baby. See, when you were brought into the earth, I promise you that you as a little one didn't look at your mom and dad at 4 a.m. and go, Mom, they look really tired. I think I'll just sit here in my dirty diaper. And no, you screamed and yelled, take care of me. It's in our nature not to be a servant. Servanthood is something that it's a difficult journey to learn servanthood. Please tell me I'm right. I struggle with this. Do you struggle with this? Does anyone enjoy being a servant? It's hard to be others focused, to get your mind off yourself. How did the disciples of Jesus, has anyone been watching The Chosen series? You know, Pastor Frank's been talking about The Chosen series, right? Season 3's out. Y'all been watching it? Sin and I have been watching it. We are like, oh, that. So here it is. There's a mini series about the life of Jesus, and it's pretty decent. One of my professors at Talbot is a consultant on the set, which comforts me. And they've been doing their best to give the best shot of what it must have been like to experience Jesus in The Chosen, and it's his chosen disciples. If you've been reading or watching it's in season 3, I think episode tonight's another one. The last couple of weeks, they were showing Jesus sending out his disciples and teaching them to go serve other people. And they were struggling with it. They were on the journey. He's teaching them, hey, okay, now you guys go into the towns. You two go this way. You two go over there. We're like, wait, we're going? Wait, you're not going with us? No, it's your turn. You go spread the kingdom. And that's true. That's what happened. Read Mark chapter 6. Jesus sent out his disciples many different times on their own. The disciples struggled with the idea of servanthood big time. Read the Gospels. Peter and James and John and Andrew, they're all humans, just like you and me. And as Jesus was trying to teach them servanthood, they struggled with the idea of servanthood. They spent a lot of time fighting amongst themselves when Jesus wasn't there over who was the greatest of the 12. You ever read that? And you know, here's the problem. When somebody's arguing over who's the greatest, by default, they're pretty much telling everybody who is the least. I'm the greatest. They wouldn't do it in front of him, but he heard him. Mark chapter 9, 33 through 37. Here's a beautiful text. They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, what were you arguing about on the road back behind me, right? But they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the... He heard them. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all. And he took a little child whom he placed among them. Oh, go, Jesus. Taking the child in his arms. Can you picture that? Imagine Jesus taking a child in his arms. Jesus taking a child in his arms. He said to them, whoever welcomes one of these little ones in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me. Whenever I think of this text, I think of a wonderful brother of ours named John Ortberg. Has anyone ever read any of his stuff? He's written a great book. If you're looking for a new book to read this year, can I recommend The Life You Always Wanted by John Ortberg? It's one of the books that I had my students reading when I was teaching at Biola. Yeah, it's a good book on spiritual disciplines. He says this about servanthood, and I love this. Let me read it to you. It says, Jesus took a little child in his arms and said, in effect, here's your ministry. Give yourselves to those who can bring you no status or clout. Just help people. You need this little child. You need to help this little child, not just for her sake, but more for your sake. For if you don't, your whole life will be thrown away on an idiotic contest to see who's the greatest. But if you serve her often and well and cheerfully and out of the limelight, then the day may come when you do it without thinking. What a wonderful thing I've done. Then you will begin serving naturally or effortlessly for the joy of it. And then you will begin to understand how life in my kingdom works. The kingdom of Christ. Selfish position, a pecking order of the greatest and the least. People, it's not in the DNA of the kingdom of God. It's in this DNA that we live in on planet Earth, but it's not the DNA of the kingdom of where you are going to be spending a lot of your time. More than here. Eternity. In heaven, it's not the greatest. There's this pecking order. Jesus says, get it out of your head. The King of heaven came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And people, he tried to teach his disciples this. And did they get it? They struggled. Do you struggle with this? I do. They struggled with it. I mean, even on the night before he died, they're still struggling. The night before Jesus went to the cross, they were still fighting. It's kind of cool. If you ever read the text, John and James had their mom. You ever read or hear about this one? Their mom comes up to Jesus, says, "Jesus, can I ask you a favor?" He goes, "Well, what would you like?" She says, "Can my kids sit on your right and on your left in your kingdom, James and John?" And he goes, "You have no idea what you're asking, you know." And all the others are like, "I can't believe she said." I mean, this is what was going on. How did Jesus' disciples, they struggle with the idea of servanthood. Luke chapter 22:20-27. This is an amazing. It's not like, okay, he taught us this and we finally got it. The night before he died, they're struggling. Listen to this. Luke 22:20-27. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." This is the Lord's table, right? "Which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on this table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed." Prophecy, right? "But woe to that man who betrays him." They began to question among themselves which of them it might be who's going to betray Jesus, right? "And a dispute also arose among them as to which of them was considered to be the greatest." And Jesus said to them, "The king of the Gentiles lorded over them. But those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Stop it. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who's at the table, right? But I am among you as one who serves." I am among you as one who serves. And after saying this, Jesus does something that is so amazing, people. Do you know what it is? Right? What did Jesus do? In the midst of this discussion, Jesus gets up. And he girded himself and he grabbed a bowl of water. And he started going to his disciples. And he began washing their feet. Can you see it? Could you imagine if the king of the universe walked through those doors with angelic beings to the right and to the left, Michael the archangel and Gabriel, and the glorified Messiah shining bright like the morning sun walks up to you and gets down and he began washing your feet? He began washing their feet. And then he got back. And he sat down. This is what John 13:3-5 says. "Jesus, knowing that the Father had put all things under his power." How much power does this man have? All power. "And that he had come from God," he was returning to God, he knows, right? "So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist, and after that he poured water into a basin, began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him." John 13:12-17. "When Jesus had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, And rightly so, for that is who I am. Now that I, the Lord, and your teacher has washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you as an example that you should do as I've done for you. Very truly I say to you, no servant is greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Do you see the shock on the disciples' faces? People, the cross is a symbol of submission. Christ submitted himself to the Father. Thy will be done, Father, right? The cross is the symbol of submission, but the towel is the symbol of servanthood. To serve. Do you have a towel? It's funny, when Sin and I got married, I put a cross on my wedding ring. People thought, you really want to do that? That seems so permanent. Absolutely. There it is. The cross is a symbol of submission to God. We all are supposed to pick up our crosses daily and follow him. Yes? We submit to the king. It's a symbol of submission. The towel is a symbol of servanthood. And Jesus wants to teach us to be servants. Are you a good servant? His New Year's resolution for you would be, learn to be a better servant this year. He says, Jesus says, if you hear me and you do what I'm telling you to do, who would be blessed? He says, you will. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Who is the person that's blessed if they get what Jesus is trying to teach them? We are. Okay, you gonna take notes? How about this one? Write down this note. God calls us to learn servanthood. Did you know that's why you're on planet Earth? God wants you to learn to be a servant. Why does God want you to be a servant? Why does God want you to learn this? Have you ever thought about this? I have. Being a servant transforms you. Being a servant gets your eyes off of you. Here it is. Serving blesses you. Jesus says, now this is what Jesus says. Do you think he's right? Do you think maybe he might be right on this one? Jesus says, if you learn to grab a towel and learn to serve other people, you'll be the person that's blessed. Do you think he's right? He says that being a servant will bless you. Because as you learn to be a servant, it transforms you. Being a learn to be a servant gets your eyes off of yourself and onto other people. And did you know it's really hard to see when your eyes is on you? Have you noticed that? When you live for yourself and it's all self-centered and self-pleasure, me, me, me. You ask people, what's the meaning of life? To be happy. Well, are you happy now? Are you happy? Do you think it makes a fireman happy to go run into a building? The chief purpose of you being on this life is not to be happy. Well, as long as it makes you happy, that's the world. You are not here to be happy. You're here to grow up and to learn. See, you're taking your character to heaven. As long as you're happy. Well, you happy now? How about now? You happy now? No wonder everyone's depressed. Because we're telling everybody the meaning of your existence is to be happy. Listen to Jesus. The meaning of your existence is to know God and love God and learn to love other people as God loves you. And if something radical happens to you when you become a servant, you begin to grow up as a human being. You begin to see the needs of others. Have you learned this lesson? Have you learned to wash someone else's feet? Have you learned to serve other people? I mean, this is the path of Jesus. And I've walked this path. I had to learn how to walk this path, and I'm still learning how to walk this path. People, before I was a Christian, I used to go to Hawaii every Easter to go get drunk, because the drinking age was 18 and booze cruises were cheap. Airfare is $127. And then I became a believer in Jesus. And all of a sudden, I'm hanging out with a group of Christians. And instead of going to on Easter break to Hawaii to go on booze cruises, I started going to orphanages in the Dominican Republic and serving at orphanages in Mexico. And you know what? My flesh did not enjoy them. Paying money to go on an airplane and go work at a leper colony in an orphanage and to sleep in not five-star accommodations, right? And you know, my body would cringe, but I was learning how to serve people and orphans and kids. Jesus was teaching me. I'm like, Lord, help me. I became a better person when I began serving other people instead of getting drunk in Hawaii. Have you learned this? I'm blessed. Jesus wants you to learn to be a servant. See, serving others, writes this down. Write this one down. Serving others blesses other people. Serving others, it doesn't bless you. When you learn servanthood, it will bless you. But when you learn servanthood, it blesses those around you. You know, it's so cool. I love Christmas. I get Christmas cards from people. And there are... I was a youth pastor here. Started here in 1992 as a youth pastor. As a young disciple of Jesus, I went to Biola, went to Talbot, newly married, had a kid, and I became the youth pastor here. And my whole desire was to tell these high school and junior high kids about Jesus and not to go down the path that I took when I was their age. You know, Jesus says there's a way that leads to life and a way that leads to death. And I'm like, I'm like, go this way, because that one stinks. And you know, it wasn't easy being a youth pastor. Man, it was tough. I get cards now from these kids. There was a kid in a young man whose mom was an alcoholic, dad was a drug addict, dad beat up mom. His dad was a brilliant man. He thought he would inform his son what human sexuality is by showing him pornographic movies. Isn't that a great father? But this kid started coming to our youth group, and he met Jesus, and he gave his life to Christ. About a year or two after he gave his life to the Lord and was totally walking in the ways of Christ as a young high schooler, a young lady came to our youth group who had just tried to commit suicide, but her parents saw her and revived her and went to she was in the hospital, and her friend, Meredith, that was in our youth group, said, this girl needs Jesus, my friend. And so she invited her to our youth group, our ski trip that we went. And on that weekend, this girl accepted Jesus. And on that weekend, this young man and her began snowboarding together. Do you know about 3 years later they got married? They have two kids. He's awesome. They both walk with the Lord. And they send us a Christmas card every year. I remember serving this young man was hard. It was worth it. You know, when you learn to serve, when you become a servant, it blesses you, it blesses other people. People are serving right now doing the streaming ministry. And you know, my dad's 95 years old, and he tells me every week, Frankie, I saw you this week. The person that's doing the streaming ministry right now is blessing somebody. I just got an email from a family member, people that used to live here, the Glosses. Guys, remember the Glosses? Hey, Martin. They watched the service in Holland. They can't do this if it wasn't for my brother up there doing the streaming ministry. So when you're a servant, you bless other people. Man, Did you know that 1,000 children got fed this week in the Philippines at a dump in Payatas because of you? We feed 1,000 children a week. And not only are we feeding them food, but we do the Jesus Kid Club. You're serving them by giving. Dude, we just got a letter back. So you guys know that Ukraine, right? Nick and Maya, they've been here in this pulpit preaching and teaching. They are in, and we just sent them people. Remember we told you that we were going to do the birthday gift to Jesus this year, and we were going to send half of it to Nick and Maya because they're doing what's called light hubs, where people in the Ukraine are being bombed, and it's in sub-zero temperatures. They're weaponizing the weather so people freeze to death, so they'll submit to Russia. And Nick and Maya are doing light hubs in their churches where they bought generators and fuel, and they're selling people to come into the church, get warm, plug up your phone, get a free meal. And as Maya puts it, and we're giving, and we preach to them the only hope that they're ever going to find in Jesus Christ. Do you know what the total offering that we're sending them is? 30,000. Not 20. Do you know that you are serving the people in the Ukraine? Do you know who's blessed when you serve? Others. And you. And you. And you write this one down. Serving each other blesses God's mission. This is why we're here. It's why we're here. Serving, get off of you. There's a good New Year's resolution for 2023. Get off of you. Get your eyes off of you. Get your eyes on Christ and let Him reflect you and let you see what the world is. And here's another note. Serving may not always be fun, but it's fulfilling. It is. It is. John 13 through 17. You call me teacher, Jesus says, and Lord, and rightly so, for that's who I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you as an example that you should do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master. Do you think you're greater than Jesus? Nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him. He sends you. Do you think you're greater than the one who sends you? Now that you know these things, knowing it is not it. Move us into action, right? Keep us from just singing. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. If. People, the cross wasn't fun to Jesus. But it was fulfilling, certainly for me and certainly for you. People, our King washes our feet. Our King serves us, and He expects us to catch this heavenly principle and to begin to serve other people. Husbands, serve your wives this week. Husbands, vacuum. Do the dishes. Give her a back rub with no expectations. Whatever you need to do, husbands, be the leader in the home. Serve. Hey, wives, serve your husbands this week. Unto the Lord, man, encourage them. Pray for them. Ask God in your prayers, how can I serve my husband this week? Spend some time in the prayer closet. God, how can I show to serve my husband? And do it. Hey, kids, serve your parents this week. Blow them away. Dad, I'll do the dishes. Mom, stay right there. I'll take and watch your parents' jaw hit the ground. Kids, serve your parents as unto the Lord. Learn it now. Serve. Hey, Christian, hey, follower of Jesus, go serve other people. Open a door for a person. Say hello to them. Greet them. Smile. Bring light into darkness. Hey, follower of Jesus, make a New Year's resolution to learn the towel. Help me, Lord, to serve somebody else. Wake up in the morning and say, Lord, is there somebody you want me to serve today that gives nothing back to me? That little kid is, those little kids, oh, they're just a little kid. No, the rabbi doesn't have time. Tell the little children to get out of here. He's got more important things to do. Jesus says, bring the little kid to me. Sits him on his lap. Serve people. Not because it's good for your business. Serve them because they deserve it as a child of God. Hey, join a growth group this week. Next week, we're starting growth groups. Growth groups at this church is where people hear the sermon on a Sunday, and then they meet in small groups throughout the week. They're both online, they're in person, they're all over, they're here at the church or in people's homes. If you're not in a growth group, next week, we're starting growth groups. And you all need to be in one. Because our faith is lived in community. Discipleship happens in meaningful relationships. You need to have relationships with one another. Who prays for you and who do you pray for? People, you need to join a growth group, not just because it's good for you, but the people that are there need you. Maybe you're going to your group this week and you're going, I really don't want to go. I'm actually, someone there needs you to pray for them. Someone is there for you to serve them. To weep with those who weep, rejoice with those who rejoice, encourage somebody in the Lord. People, join a growth group because in it's your opportunity to be a part of the body of Christ. We fulfill His mission together. Hey, you know what? Pre-COVID, the church was a different church pre-COVID. The youth group was a different youth group. The children's ministry, COVID drilled everybody. Do you know there's a lot of churches that folded during COVID? We're at post-COVID as a church. And we're on the other side and God has been with us and God is manifesting Himself to us. You know, they always say that 80% of the people or 20% of the people do 80% of the work. Do you know there are... The church needs you to serve. The worship team needs you to serve. The people doing lighting and streaming and sound, if you're a techie person, serve one Sunday. Children's ministry, youth ministry, and the missions. Do you know if you want to write letters to our missionaries and tell them we're praying for them, if you have the gift of encouragement, you need to be on the missions committee. Right on, Sonny? We need people on our missions committee. We need this. The church needs servants again. Can I make a call? This year, serve. Serve in the body of Christ. We have this. You can go on our website and there's all these different like things you can sign up for to serve other people. It's called Volunteer Central. You can find it on our website. You can say, you know what? This is something I'd like to do. Can I encourage you, please make a New Year's resolution to say, I'm going to serve this year? There are many opportunities to serve. People, I'm warning you. Watch out for New Year's resolutions. They can be very dangerous. You might get a black eye. But I'm still going to the gym. And people look weird at me. I just smile. I don't even want to tell you the story. You should see how the other guy looks, right? New Year's resolutions are good. You should do them. Better yourself. Go to the gym. Take care of yourself. Be a better reader. Read through the Bible in a year. Go for it. All these. Can I encourage you? Jesus wants you to learn servanthood while you're on planet Earth. How are you doing on the journey? Jesus wants you to serve other people. He washes your feet. Wash one another's feet. Learn how to serve. Pray about this. Will you promise to pray about this week? You promise? How many of you promise? Raise your hand. How many of you are going, no way? Nice. Nah. How about online? You on the couch right now, I'm asking you, are you going to promise to pray? streaming. Hi, Dad. So here's a song. There's a song. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. Whenever I'm serving, I learned to sing this song in the Dominican Republic in Haiti. So in Haiti, they have spiders that are about the size of my hand, and they're as fast as a lizard. And they were in our bedroom. And we got the one in Jessica's room, and the blood on the wall was awesome. We couldn't get the one in our room. And we could hear him hitting the side of our bed during the night. And I remember sitting here going, why am I here? Why am I in Haiti? We were building a freshwater well. And I remember I'd lay in bed at night and I would sing, make me a servant, humble and meek. Lord, let me lift up those who are weak. You ever heard that song? When I sing the song when I'm serving and I don't want to. It helps me, it encourages me. So I guess what I asked PJ, could we sing this song? Would you sing this song with me? Could we stand? See, this is what the Lord wants for you this year. I pray that at the end of this year you'll say, I learned servanthood a little bit better this year. I became a little bit more like Jesus. I learned how to wash people's feet this year a little bit better. And you know what? If you enter this journey, there's going to be times you're going, I don't like this. When you do, sing this song. You can sing it. It goes like this.